From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
Welcome to Capitol Connection. We are off and running for 2018. Candidates already announcing their bids and the primaries taking shape. Plus, does your religious belief, held commonly for over 2,000 years, disqualify you from public service? Senator Bernie Sanders thinks so. Senator Sanders attacks a Christian nominee and tries to impose a religious test. I'm going to talk about this latest display of blatant Christian animosity and what the Trump administration is doing to protect religious freedom by rolling back one of Obama's mandates, as well as a new law in Canada that would let the government take children away from their parents if they don't accept the child's chosen gender identity. This is Capitol Connection. Governor Pete Ricketts has officially kicked off his 2018 re-election campaign, gathering with supporters last week in Lincoln at the Republican Party headquarters to launch his re-election campaign with Lieutenant Governor Mike Foley, who will be remaining on the ticket. The governor promised to seek tax relief every single year while he is governor. Governor Ricketts highlighted that during his first 3 years in office, state spending growth has been reduced by 90%. Lieutenant Governor Foley also praised Ricketts as smart, ethical, rooted in values, and a dependable supporter of life and religious liberty. Those are the terms and phrases you want to hear when you're talking about an elected official and what they are going to bring to the people that they're serving. And so far, there are no formal challengers to the governor. Right now, only one state senator, Senator Bob Crist of Omaha, who will be term limited, has said he is exploring the possibility of running and challenging the governor in the primary. Several candidates for the state legislature have also begun announcing their campaigns and will begin to see more in the coming weeks and months. And Omaha Congressman Don Bakin will also be seeking re-election. He has at least one challenger on the far left already, and we're still waiting on word from former Congressman Brad Ashford, but it is becoming more likely that he's going to jump into the race based on things he's been putting out online and quotes to the media. But it appears the Bakin campaign is ready for that, already beginning to talk about 2018. So the next election cycle is coming up right around the corner, whether we want it to be or not. But this next election will have major and serious implications for state and local politics. But out in Washington, D.C., just last week, we saw the latest display of Christian animosity from none other than socialist Bernie Sanders, who went after a Trump nominee, Russ Vogt, who has been nominated for the office of Deputy Budget Director. And Senator Sanders relentlessly went after him and attacked him basically for being a Christian. It was a sad and embarrassing exchange that I'm going to play. But really, I think that it appears obvious that Senator Sanders either has never read or just simply does not care about the Constitution, Article 6, which states no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And essentially, what you'll hear is, other than Senator Sanders just going at this guy for being a Christian, is trying to basically impose a religious test for public office, basically saying that he's not going to support this candidate and no one should because of his religious beliefs. It was really a stunning outburst from the guy who was almost the Democrats' nominee for president. And I'm not sure why Senator Sanders thinks that he can act this way and treat a nominee and attack them for their Christian beliefs. Maybe he's already planning his next run for president, and apparently he's going to run on a platform of requiring a religious litmus test, even though that our Constitution, which he apparently cares very little about, guarantees there will be no religious litmus test, and Americans should never be forced to choose between their faith and public service. So listen to the exchange here between Senator Sanders and Trump's Deputy Budget Director nominee, Russell Vogt.
Let me get to this issue that has bothered me and bothered many other people. And that is, in the piece that I referred to that you wrote for a publication called Resurgent, you wrote, Muslim, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post, as I stated in the questionnaire to this committee, was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation. And
again, I apologize. I do. Forgive me. We just don't have a lot of time. Do you believe that people in the Muslim religion stand condemned? Is that your view?
Again, Senator, I'm a Christian, and I wrote that piece.
Well, what does that say?
The statement of faith of Wheaton.
I understand that. I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too.
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country and around the world. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect regardless of their religious beliefs. I believe that as a Christian, that's how I should treat all individuals.
And do you think your statement that you put into that publication, they do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ the Son and they stand condemned, do you think that's respectful of other religions?
Senator, I wrote a post based on being a Christian and attending a Christian school that has a statement of faith that speaks clearly with regard to the centrality of Jesus Christ in salvation.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
There you have it. That was Senator Sanders attacking the potential Deputy White House Budget Director, Russell Vogt, for his devout Christian beliefs. And first of all, good for Russell Vogt for remaining calm and basically defending more than just his faith, but really even the entire Christian faith. No one should be feeling the burn for this. The only one who should be feeling the burn is Bernie Sanders for trying to impose a religious test in violation of Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. Thankfully, fellow Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado responded as soon as it was his time to speak, slamming Sanders, saying, "I hope that we are not questioning the faith of others and how they interpret their faith to themselves." David French of National Review summed it up this way, saying, "Increasingly, the battle between Democrats and many evangelicals is becoming a struggle against leftist efforts to treat Orthodox Christians as second-class citizens. I can think of few better examples than the exchange between Senator Sanders and Russell Vogt. Christians can and do believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, while also defending the fundamental freedoms of all their fellow citizens. That's how our constitutional republic works. Bernie Sanders would do well to brush up on his civic education and remember that religious freedom belongs even to citizens and nominees he doesn't like." So as of yet, no apology or retraction or anything from Senator Sanders or his team over this exchange. So apparently Senator Sanders is borrowing more than just economic and tax policies from socialist countries. He also wants the government to be able to control religion and who can serve in government based on their deeply held religious beliefs. It's unconstitutional. It's wrong. But thankfully, more is still being done to protect religious freedom. I'm going to talk more about what's being done at the federal level from the White House to protect religious liberty. But first, a quick word about sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service, because I love partnering with this organization. Walker Tire and Auto is doing great things in the auto service and care industry. They are all about transparency and going the extra mile for their customers. Only at Walker Tire and Auto can you get the free video vehicle health inspection, free with each visit. Hear from their expert technicians and see for yourself directly from your phone, your email, your computer, exactly how your vehicle is doing as their technicians show you exactly what's going on with your car, both good and bad, everything they're seeing and doing, so you can see it and view it for yourself. And the next time you need to replace your tires, visit Walker Tire and Auto and get the Walker Tire Advantage, where you can get free oil changes and more for the life of your tires. Walker Tire and Auto has been serving Omaha customers for over 6 decades and is here to help take care of you at any one of their 4 convenient Omaha locations. So visit Walker Tire and Auto at 144th and Harrison, 84th and Dodge, 89th and L, and 140th and Center. Walker Tire, going the extra mile for you. Now, there's some talk right now in D.C. about another leak. There was a leaked draft copy recently of a new rule to expand religious protections in the Health and Human Services abortion pill mandate that came in under Obamacare. Protecting religious liberty was a major campaign promise made by the president throughout his campaign. So if this leak is accurate and the president puts this new rule into place, it would be in line with that promise to protect religious freedom by expanding religious protections. What was simply known as the HHS mandate, this part of Obamacare requires nearly all insurance plans to cover abortion-inducing drugs. The HHS mandate amounts to basically nothing more than government bullying. It was part of Obamacare, and even organizations like the Little Sisters of the Poor were not exempt. And we all know about their case, and they had to plead all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The 125-page leaked draft copy of the new rule would expand religious protections in the HHS mandate so that both nonprofits and for-profits, whether religious or non-religious, could claim an exemption that protects them from being forced by the government to provide abortion-inducing drugs in their health insurance plans. So a couple of points before you hear, if you haven't already, that the sky is falling. Access to contraception will continue to be as widely and readily available as it always has been and is right now. Those who choose to work at religious charities or attend faith-based colleges typically share their employers' or universities' religious convictions. For those who do not, they still have access to a wide array of federal, state, and local programs that provide free or subsidized contraception at their local drugstore. And I found this particularly interesting. Big corporations like Exxon, Pepsi, and Visa were exempted from the mandate from the beginning, but the government still forced religious charities, colleges, and even pro-life organizations to decide between violating their conscience or facing severe penalties that would ultimately drive them out of existence or business. And that should never happen. That should never happen. We should protect the faith that inspires groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor and other organizations to serve their communities, because punishing people of faith who serve our most vulnerable with love and compassion, that hurts society, and it hurts the most vulnerable people in society. The freedoms guaranteed under federal law and the First Amendment are civil rights, and as a result, they're not special gifts that the government can give or withhold whenever it chooses. This proposed rule ensures that religious and pro-life organizations can simply continue to serve their communities without fear of severe punishment by the government. So although the Little Sisters of the Poor, other faith-based colleges, and religious charities will still need some final relief from the courts, this is an important step to restore their constitutionally protected freedoms. This is exactly in line with what President Trump said he would do. He promised to protect and defend religious freedom and First Amendment rights, and this is exactly in line with that. This leaked rule expanding religious protections in the HHS mandate, it's an important step that should absolutely be followed through with. And it's essential that we're always talking about and protecting religious liberty and the rights of conscience, because we need look no further than to our neighbor in the north, where Canada has just passed a new law that allows the government to take children away from their parents if the parents don't accept the child's chosen gender identity. This happened in Ontario, Canada. Bill 89, known as the Supporting Children, Youth, and Families Act, was overwhelmingly passed with a 63-23 vote. The new law stipulates that children's services workers and family judges take into consideration a child's race, address, place of origin, color, ethnicity, citizenship, so on and so forth, and are now adding sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. So not even just gender identity, but gender expression when determining whether or not a child will remain with their parents or foster families. The Minister of Child and Family Services, who initially introduced the bill, said that he would consider parental discrimination on the basis of gender identity a form of child abuse when a child identifies as one way and a caregiver is saying, no, you need to do this differently. He continued, if it's abuse and if it's in the definition, a child can be removed from that environment and placed into protection where the abuse stops. So this law requires that a parent or legal guardian direct the child or young person's education and upbringing in accordance with the child's creed, community identity, and cultural identity. So basically what they're now saying is that parents, you have no rights. You have no rights in raising your kid. What happened to parents' rights and they get to raise their kid and educate them in the way that they think is best? Now, the Ontario government has decided that they know what is best for the child. And if the parents disagree on, maybe not supporting or just accepting whatever this child, who could be any age, they could be 6, 7, 8 years old, choosing to identify as the opposite sex. And if the parent doesn't support that and allow them to do that, the government will remove that child from their home. And that is a terrifying, terrifying thing that the government would have that authority. And what they also did with this new law was wipe out and delete previous verbiage that had allowed parents and guardians to raise their children under their faith, as you would expect. A senior political strategist for a Campaign for Life coalition in Canada said that this law has entered Canada into a new era with totalitarian power by the state, such as which has never been witnessed before in Canada's history, and that the new law is a threat to people of faith. And he's absolutely correct. This is really an extreme measure. It's silencing dissent, all opposition, and basically completely violating any sort of free speech rights, religious freedom rights, or parental rights that they may have once had in Canada with this new law. You know, children, they have to be a certain age to drive, to vote, to drink, to smoke, to take medicine at school. You know, you need parental supervision and guidance for just about anything. And now the authorities have decided that that child can choose at a very young age to choose their gender. And if their parents don't support that or are in opposition to that ideology, the authorities can literally come to their door and seize their biological children. And so while I know that this is in Canada, this is extremely relevant because there's been a sweep of legislation across the country where bills have been introduced to ban what's called conversion or reparative therapy if someone is dealing with same-sex attraction and seeks counseling. These bills attempt to make that illegal, basically saying that that is dangerous and unhelpful and can be a form of abuse, and so you make that illegal. And again, then you're getting rid of any dissent or opposition, which is really about much more than this. It's being basically used to get Christian counselors out of the way, take away their licenses. Clearly, constitutional violations for free speech rights, religious freedom rights, and parental rights with these laws, not even allowing a counselor to talk to someone about these issues openly and freely. It's just incredibly unsettling what we're seeing both in Canada and now in the United States with these laws banning conversion or reparative therapy. And that's why people have to be engaged. We can't be on the sideline. We have seen this before with gay marriage. Everyone said, you know, it's not a big deal. It won't affect you. It won't affect your family. And now it's been more than just the baker or the florist or the photographer. Now designers, artists, t-shirt printers, foster care and adoption agencies, and now even farmers who have been targeted and negatively impacted for their religious beliefs on marriage. And now it's happening again with gender identity and gender expression. Silencing dissent and going after and punishing and bullying people of faith who disagree on these issues. And these issues are not going away on their own. And so that's why we need more people speaking up and speaking out. You can always speak up and make a difference. And one great way to do that is by partnering with the Nebraska Family Alliance. You can sign up to be put in their network, get all of the information that you'll need on issues pertaining to family, freedom, and life, both here in the state of Nebraska and nationally. You can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you'll find articles, blogs, radio, videos, everything you'll need, all the information and tools to give you the information to make a difference, what you need to know, when you need to know it, who you need to contact, and how you can make the most impact. So visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org or like them on Facebook, and they'll keep you up to date with everything you need to know about, such as this latest story of a U.S. Marine being punished for posting Bible verses. Marine Lance Corporal Munifa Sterling posted the scripture verse, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper," from Isaiah 54:17 at her workstation in 2013. When her superiors asked her to remove the scripture verses, she declined and ultimately led to her discharge and now a lawsuit against the United States. Lower courts have ruled against the Marine, and the U.S. Supreme Court has just declined to take the case, meaning the lower court's rulings will stand. According to the Family Research Council, the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces did not protect her religious expression, interpreting the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in a constrained manner to protect only certain types of religious exercise and requiring that service members seek a religious accommodation, even though this is not a requirement of the statute. When this Marine swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution, which is founded on Christian principles, I would think that they never imagined they would end up in a lawsuit against their own country over a Bible verse. And I think this is just a sad reflection of how far our government and nation have strayed from having that deep understanding and respect for our Judeo-Christian values and faith heritage. Family Research Council's executive vice president, who formerly served in the U.S. military, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, said that if one thing is clear from my 36 years in the military, it is that religious faith is indispensable for the soldier facing danger and the possibility of death in battle. Throughout the history of our magnificent military, faith has played a role not just in strengthening weak knees and frail hearts, but has actually made a difference in the actions of service members who act on this faith to accomplish deeds of valor. To rob the service member of the right to express this faith will do incalculable damage to the armed forces. So this just begs the question that shouldn't our brave men and women in the military who are fighting to preserve our freedom, shouldn't they have those same freedoms assured for themselves? They should absolutely have the right to fully and openly engage in religious exercise in accordance with their sincerely held religious beliefs, and should be afforded those same protections under the U.S. Constitution and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, like everyone else. And that's all the time I've got this week. Thank you again to sponsor of the show, Walker Tire and Auto Service. Whatever your vehicle needs, visit Walker Tire in Omaha at one of their four convenient locations. Walker Tire and Auto has been serving Omaha customers for over six decades and is ready to take care of all your vehicle service and maintenance needs. And as always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org or visit NFA on Facebook. I'll be back next week with the latest news and developments on what's going on that will affect family, freedom, and life, as well as what's going on in D.C. and the state capital. keeping you informed on the issues you care about most. Thanks for listening to Capital Connections.